Welcome to Beyond the Point. I'm your host, Nick Keiser. Man, it's been fun to watch Preds hockey here as of late, and the Predators are coming off of a 2-1 win on Thursday night against the Winnipeg Jets, and they go into the weekend on a strong note after Andrew Brunette and his staff made some adjustments and made some call-ups and saw some injuries as well, but we're going to dive right into it here because we have an action-packed weekend. Not only are they up in New York, but the trade deadline is coming up a week from today or on March 7th, if you're listening to this leading into when the trade deadline is, because on the next program, we're going to be reacting to all of the trades. And so this episode is going to be kind of a precursor to what's to come. Also talking about some scuttlebutt, but I really want to hone in next week on, okay, what is the identity of this team moving forward and how can they achieve that to its full potential? So we'll keep an eye on that next week. But for the time being, like I said, the Preds did beat the Jets. They broke Winnipeg's 11-game win streak, which is the longest streak that the Predators have ever brought down in team history. That's awesome. The last time that they broke a win streak of this caliber was back in the 05-06 season against the Detroit Red Wings, and that was no small feat for sure. That would have been a fun game to be at as well. I might have even been there. I'm not even sure if that was at home or if it was away, but watching the Red Wings back in the day and seeing that rivalry was unmatched. I loved going to those games. And so I can only imagine what that game meant for the Predators for the time being. But look, it's not great for the Preds. They are missing a few key pieces to their lineup, and it just keeps getting worse. Roman Josi was injured earlier this week, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it's a concussion, and he's had these before, and it's not a good sign whatsoever. And Andrew Brunette kind of talked about, he's like, well, I think this is a day-to-day thing. I'm not a doctor. You know, he could be out longer. It could be week to week. He could even be out for the season. So the Predators are having to adjust on the fly here. They did have Jake Livingstone part of the roster earlier this week, but he and Mark Delgaiso actually switched places. And so we'll actually hear from Mark here in just a few minutes here, because Mark has had a few stints here in Nashville, and Jake Livingstone didn't get any game action this time, but he certainly could be a guy that Nashville calls up later on should some trades be made. So we'll get more into that in just a little bit. But yeah, Mark Delgaiso is up with the Preds, and like I said, he's had a few stints before, and I kind of talked to him about just what he was able to do differently in Milwaukee and why he feels this stint could be different for him. And I know that Andrew Brunette sent him back to Milwaukee after he got to, you know, make his debut back at home in New Jersey. And, you know, it wasn't a great game for him, but at the end of the day, I mean, he still got a chance to, you know, play in front of his grandparents and play in front of his parents. And, you know, it was just a sweet moment for him to get to do that before going back to Milwaukee. So I know things have been tough sledding for him at the NHL level as of late, but honestly, I thought against the Jets, he had a pretty nice game. And while that decor is pretty jacked up right now, you know, and I'll even just list this off right now, it was, you know, Brady Shea played with Nick Blankenberg. They've been together most of the season. Mark was playing with Luke Shin. That's a pairing that we've seen when Mark is here in town. And then also new addition, Andreas Englund and then Justin Barron play together as well. So, you know, yeah, it's a little messed up right now, but, you know, they're making it work. And last night, on a quick note here, I thought I would go back and take a look. Nashville had 26 hits on the Winnipeg Jets, and they ended up combining for 13 hits on defense, which that's pretty good. And I know that I've seen a lot of fans talk about the physicality has been lacking, and I would agree in some areas that certainly has for sure. I even saw some fans be like, hey, the Preds played better without Roman Josi. Let's give that a rest. That's not going to be a persistent thing that I want to hear from fans. And you're probably not going to say it for that long, even if you believe it. I truly don't think in your heart that you do if you watch these games every single night. I just don't choose to believe that. So, but look, the Preds, you know, I thought they actually played pretty decent. I'm just going to say, you know, they really came out and they kept Winnipeg at bay. Now, given Winnipeg was on the back half of a back-to-back and played in Ottawa the night before on Wednesday, so they also started Connor Hellebuck in Ottawa, and they started Eric Comrie, who, by the way, had a great game as well. He made a really big save on Philip Forsberg, and I could not imagine what Forsberg was thinking in that moment. Could have gone up early there and really ended things and added some salt to the wound with Tommy Novak scoring later on. But, you know, I mean, for me at least, looking back at how the Preds behaved and how they reacted to Winnipeg, it was encouraging. And I know Andrew Burnett doesn't have a whole lot of answers as to why they've been so inconsistent as of late. But one thing they can rely on is consistent defensive play when guys are asked to come up and they kind of have a clean slate. You know, Andreas Englund is a more recent guy that Nashville got off of waivers from the Kings. We've talked about him before on the pod already. But, you know, Englund has come in and been a really good physical presence. He even drew the penalty against Winnipeg that led to Nashville's goal by Tommy Novak on the power play. The aforementioned Novak goal, what I meant to say there was Philip Forsberg's goal, but Novak did score the first goal of the game. So anyway, but I think Andreas Englund has been a nice addition playing with Justin Barron, because Barron is not as much of a physical guy as Andreas is. So maybe that's a pairing that we can see long-term for the rest of the season. Not completely sure there whatsoever, but we'll find out and we'll see if that one works over the course of the weekend. But I think Delgado playing with Shen is going to be another thing that we see long-term. But for Mark in general, it was interesting to kind of catch up with him here and just ask him about his time. Ask him just what it's been like to also be a leader. I hadn't noticed that he was the assistant captain, so that was a fault of my own, just not knowing that he was an assistant captain with the ads this year. But it's interesting to see him become more of a leader for the younger guys like Ryan Ufcoad, Jack Mateer, and some others as well. And you have to assume that when Andrew Gibson and Tanner Mullendijk and company show up, maybe they would keep Mark. Maybe that's someone they want to keep around to have as more of a mentor for those guys. And, you know, Mark was someone in college at UMass that ultimately made a big difference as well. So maybe he can do that with the Admirals and be there for some of the younger guys. But without any further ado, I'd like to play this conversation with Mark Delgado.
Glad to have you back in Nashville, first and foremost. Just to kind of walk me through just what time has been like for you in Milwaukee this go-around, and we've seen you score some goals lately.
Yeah, things have been great in Milwaukee. Team's doing well. Everything's been good. It's definitely good to be back, though. I'm super excited.
What feels different in your most recent stint this go-around? Obviously, we've seen you score the goals lately, but, you know, leadership-wise for you, what's been different for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes you go down there and you work on things, and it's a big credit to the coaching staff there. They do a phenomenal job with everyone kind of working with you and, you know, getting your game in order and things of that nature. And like I said, again, really a big credit to the staff down there really helping me and bringing me in. And they do an incredible job down there.
After catching up with a few guys down the pipeline, but even guys like Ryan Ufcoad, they've speak really good about the coaching staff and whatnot there. But for you, what can you say about some of the guys that you've gotten to play with this year? Obviously, Ufcoad is a guy that was just in college, and you can kind of be there and mentor him. And, you know, even Jack Mateer, who wasn't in the all-time last year, but, you know, what has it been like to be there for guys like that this year?
Yeah, it's big. I mean, for sure. I mean, just being in a leadership role down there, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good players there, and you know, me and Ryan Ufcoad have played the majority of the season together, so it's been good. And, you know, just two UMass kids, we're kind of programmed the same way. Just you know, our computer up there, and yeah, they, you know, Uffy's been having a really good season too. So yeah, a lot of good guys down there, and it's definitely been good to be in more of a leadership role.
Seen a couple of fans clamor that now you're back in Nashville, but more importantly here, I know that Roman Josi's out currently with an injury. You know, you don't always want to see that, maybe, but, you know, for you, how do you want to seize this opportunity, whether he's out long term or not, for yourself personally? Just how do you want to seize this next little chance here?
Yeah, anytime you're in the NHL, you're and you're coming from the minors, you're always looking to prove something, and it's kind of like any other chance I've got. Just you know, trying to prove that I can play here and, you know, make a good impression.
Have you had the A for that long in Milwaukee, by the way? Just wanted to kind of see, like, what the timeline was there. I've seen the A on there most recently.
Yeah, this year was named an assistant captain. And last year I was in the leadership. I've been in the leadership group my entire career there. Mm-hmm. Last year I wore it a little bit when we had a captain out or a captain injured or something like that. So yeah, it's definitely been good to be in a leadership role and things have been going really well down there.
Last thought here, and thank you for your time. Just give us a window into why fans need to be excited about some of the younger guys that are down there currently. And some have not made their debuts. Some have, like we saw Ozzy earlier this year, just as one example. But if you had to give a fan sort of a glimpse into that room and seeing guys like Cal and Kevin be veteran leaders that have played in the NHL at times, how has the culture molded and made guys exciting to just develop?
Yeah, it's just a really good culture down there. There's been a lot of success there for a long time, and you learn the habits of being a good person, of being a winner, and things of that nature. So there's a lot of good talent down there, and the fans should definitely be excited for sure.
Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Nick.
Really awesome to get to hear from him after being called back up to Nashville just before the Nashville Predators took on the Winnipeg Jets. And look, I think he's going to fit in nicely. I think he could be a depth guy for years to come, maybe. But on that note, what I really want to focus on coming up next is another guy that has, he's not been around the NHL a lot the last 2 years, and it's been remarkable to, hear what his story has entailed. And you can check that full story out over at thegamenashville.com. But yeah, I think just on Mark real quick before I go over here to Kiefer Bellows, I'm well aware that Delgado is on a one-year deal, and he could be a UFA Group 6. And really what that means here is if Mark, if he doesn't play the required amount of games, he could be an RFA. But a Group 6 guy, he's old enough to become a free agent should he not be tendered a qualifying offer. So we'll see what happens. I'm not entirely sure what the Predators are thinking when that happens, but a Group 6 UFA, to be more precise here, because I just pulled this up for our listeners to understand what this means. It's not really something that you hear too much about, but in order to be a Group 6 UFA, a player has to have played less than 80 career NHL games. And for goalies, this is 28 games, and it has to be more than 30 minutes of ice time. But yeah, three pro seasons essentially is what this boils down to. But for Mark Delgado, look, he is a guy. He's not young. It's kind of like when Tommy Novak got called up. Mark is already 25 years old, and Nashville did wait to sign him last offseason, and it's going to be really interesting to see how Barry Trotz and his staff approach Mark and maybe bringing him back. So, I don't know. It could be kind of a sensitive situation similar to Juuso Parsonen, where the Preds believe he has a role, but maybe not forever. Maybe he's just here to fill a void for the time being, and he has a purpose, but he's not part of that long-term plan. But perhaps he could be. You never know. But there's a lot of guys that are similar to Mark Delgado. You can look to someone like Nick Blankenberg, who's been signed, and so he's come in and made a big difference. And if you're talking about those versions of those types of players, Blankenberg, in my mind, has been the better player. Now, fans may have thought adding Mark right now would help the situation, but when you have two guys in there that play a similar style, that's okay. But if you have to pick one or the other, you want to go with the guy that has more experience and is a lot more consistent. And Mark just doesn't have that yet, unfortunately. So in that business and in that realm, I'm just not sure if Nashville keeps him this offseason. But Kiefer Bellows has an interesting story. And his father, Brian, played over 1,000 games in the NHL, and Jay Moore, analyst on our crew, he played with Brian and against Brian as well. And when Kiefer got called up, it was an intriguing little tidbit for me. And the first time that he got called up this year, it was literally for a cup of coffee. Like, he and I were chatting. He never played. He was scratched for, 7 games. And he and I would chat in the locker room about maybe where he should go get some coffee. I'm not joking. He was asking me where he should go during his free time, and no free ads here, but I did mention a few different spots around town. So he did enlighten me. He said he tried out a few. So glad to hear that those worked out for him. But he did get to come back in the lineup, and that was pretty cool to see. I know he's waited and waited and waited to come back and play in the NHL, and so when he did make his return, it was approximately 680 days. It was 688 to be precise, but when you spend that long away from the NHL, I can only imagine how much of an itch that you have to get back. And so I chatted with him once, like I said, there when he was a scratch, but more recently I chatted with him before he played against, you know, or when he ended up making his Predators debut earlier this week against the Panthers. And so he had a really interesting insight just in terms of what it was like to come back. He didn't have a whole lot to say other than, you know, the usual. He had the jitters still. He was excited, and he walked in and saw his name on the board, and, you know, that just set everything in motion for him to make his Preds debut. So without any further ado, here's my conversation earlier this week with Predators forward Kiefer Bellows.
Kiefer, I know that tonight you get the, you know, make your Preds debut, so kind of walk me through when you got the word and how awesome it is to be back in the NHL lineup.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, showing up to the rink today, seeing your name in the lineup is always an exciting feeling. It's been a little bit, but you know, the butterflies and the joy is still there no matter if you're playing or not. Every day in the NHL is a good day no matter what. You know, every day I get to play hockey is a good day. So you know, I'm just very excited, and I'm ready to help these guys get some wins.
Right. So obviously going back to the last time you played, I think it was like 2023, maybe something like that, but you and I talked a lot about the adversity that you've kind of gone through to get there, and you said that it's good to find joy in those moments. Does it feel worth it at this point? Something that kind of all comes back to you once you know that you're in?
Yeah, it's an exciting feeling. I mean, yeah, it's the, you know, you think about all the tough times and, you know, the good moments, the bad moments, all of it kind of lead up to this moment of getting back to an NHL game. But, you know, I know that, you know, there's work that led to this moment, but there's work now that, you know, that I have to put in and have to put in every single day in practice and in games to kind of help me solidify myself.
Right. So I know that we also talked about your shooter-first mentality. Is that something that you want to do right off the hop here this evening?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to be a shooter. I want to be, you know, I want to be a guy that brings a lot of energy to this team. I want to, you know, I love to shoot the puck. I love to get in the dirty areas, create secondary chances, you know, just be around the net. That's kind of, you know, what I like to do to help these guys offensively, and, you know, just do whatever I can to help them win if that's, you know, and being responsible defensively is kind of the key.
So I know that Tommy and Luke are familiar with each other, and then watching them from the bleachers as well, is it something that you've noticed in their game that you know that you can seamlessly add to here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think they both, you know, really play off each other, you know, in a very, it's just very smooth the way they kind of read each other. And I think that's something you see from guys that, you know, if you're playing with a long time, you just kind of get that feeling, you know, where they're going to be. And I think you just see it with them. And for me tonight, it's just, you know, playing my game, really, you know, being hard to play against, playing hard, and then also reading off these guys. You know, they're good players, obviously, and they're gonna make good plays. And, you know, I just want to be a good addition to them.
Gotcha. So on top of that, which strengths other than shooting do you feel like might have to kick off some rust with? Or is there anything that you're kind of looking at to just kind of maybe knock off some rust, or, you know, look at different areas in the system? Are there any of those things that kind of stand out to you?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, with being in Milwaukee, playing very similar systems, I think that it all kind of correlates back, and just kind of, you know, you just get the same kind of vibe. But I think for me, it's just, you know, taking it shift by shift. I think that's going to be a main focus tonight.
Always great to hear a story like that in the NHL, especially here in the Nashville Predators organization. So stay tuned for more stories like that over at thegamenashville.com or right here at Beyond the Point on Preds Radio. So I think it's going to be a fun weekend. The Nashville Predators have the Islanders and the Rangers, if you're listening to this on Friday, going in to the action. But then next week, they've got some games as well. I know that Nashville's first home game before the trade deadline is going to be against the Seattle Kraken next Thursday. So if you're going to be in the building for that one, you may see your favorite player play his last game, or maybe not. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't mean to tease you that way, but it will be interesting to see how General Manager Barry Trotz and his staff approach everything here. And I mean, Nashville's got options. They really do. It's interesting because a lot of guys have no movement clauses, and you see the Brady Shays, the Jonathan Marchessos, and, you know, even Ryan O'Reilly, who doesn't have trade protection, is being treated like he does. And so, You know, Barry, if you've been listening to the station here on 102.5 The Game, he has mentioned how he is treating Ryan O'Reilly like he has a no movement clause. So that will be something to keep tabs on, just because if he does get a deal that he loves, he'll have to go to Ryan, or he's going to have to go to anybody for that matter, and say, this is what I want to do. Is this okay? And Ryan O'Reilly might be part of that. We don't know yet. But for right now, he's Nashville's number one centerman, and it's going to be tough to move off a piece like that. And Nashville's not making the playoffs. We're well aware of that. But Fedor Svechkov jumping into that role might be something you see if Ryan O'Reilly gets traded. Someone else will get called up. We'll have to find out who that is. But with Roman Josi, Mark Jankowski, Jeremy Lazan, Adam Willsby, Zach LaRue all out of the lineup right now, and two of those guys with Lazan and Willsby out for the year, it's not going to make it any easier to bring up guys from Milwaukee, and that's why you've seen some depth moves there as well. So, yep, trade deadline is going to be very, very anxiety-driven if you're a player in those shoes, also in the front office as well. But I'm interested. I'm very intrigued to see how the Predators choose to acquire assets here. Is it a lot of draft capital? Is it going to be player-driven? I'm sure it's going to be a mix of both, but we'll have to find out and see what that looks like. So, but, you know, we've got you covered right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. It's always a pleasure to do these short episodes and really just get you caught up on some of the conversations that I'm having in the locker room. We're just getting this show started off here, so it's a little bit of a project that I've done. So please hit that follow button wherever you're listening to Beyond the Point on Preds Radio. It's going to be fun, and you know, I know it's going to be tough to watch these games. It's going to be tough to even go to them as well. But there are some interesting storylines. There are some interesting perspectives still. And I know that even after talking to UC Saros this week, he is motivated. He wants to play for the fans. So with that being a very pride-driven locker room still, they're playing for their jobs. They're playing for their futures here in Nashville. They're building an identity that is new. It seems like it's aimless right now, but it's not. They're truly trying to do something good here, and in the long term, in their minds, it will pay off. And if you don't want to be part of it, if you're a player in that room, Barry's going to do his very best to move you off. And he said that over at Stillman & Company earlier in the week on his weekly visit on Tuesday. And look, if you want to hear what the GM has to say, he's pretty open and transparent every week here. So stay tuned for that as well. Jared asks great questions, and I'm always interested to hear what he has to say. But look, Nashville, it doesn't get any easier. You're going to have to buy into this. There is some pain involved in this process. And I know there are some other teams in town that have gone through some pain lately as well, but you're just going to have to hang on. You're going to have to be patient, and good things come to those who wait. Trust me, I've been there. If you're a listener, you've been there before in life as well. I'm sure of it. So we'll have to find out how the Predators do in the next few weeks, but also in the next few months, because it's going to be crucial to see how they respond here down the stretch. So you can follow me online on socials at KeezerNick on X. I've got all of your in-game updates. I've got my stories. I've got this podcast on there. I'm at Lower Broad Hockey as well, so go subscribe there for my work. But there are other things to be excited about. Stay tuned for those things. But thank you for listening to the latest edition of Beyond the Point.